Morton was a flamboyant character with an outlandish personal demeanor and style aimed to impress. He often insisted on being called The Role and called himself Mr. Jellylord on record, becoming the first of a line of band-leading pianists to dub himself an aristocrat. He was convinced that his success as a performer and alleged pimp, pool hustler, and card shark required to be the sharpest dresser in town. He was what once would have been called a dandy, or we might today call a player. He might typically wear a tailored burgundy suit jacket over white pants and shoes, pink shirt with detachable collar, silk Dubonnet tie and matching handkerchief, gold watch and gold watch fob, and he sported other garish ostentations, gold belt buckle and diamond-studded horseshoe tie clasp. Sometimes he even wore gold coins affixed to the top of the tip of each shoe. And mounted in a front tooth was a half-carat diamond. Said diamond was in the pawn shop more than once, but was with him to the end. Jelly Roll Morton was probably the most gifted, distinctive, and original musician to sum up what New Orleans had to offer. His prolific output of jazz tunes, piano rolls, and sheet music as early as 1915, jazz records beginning in 1923, place him foremost among the classic jazz pioneers of the 20s. Having worked his youth primarily as a piano player in the bordellos of the famed Red Light District of New Orleans, Morton never led a band there, but he heard the golden era bands, occasionally picking up a trombone or bass drum to join a street parade himself. By the early 1920s, Morton had intellectually worked out clear, very firm theoretical ideas about jazz. I would even call it almost an ideology of what jazz music was, what jazz music wasn't, and how jazz was to be played to best effect. You're hearing the saga of Jelly Roll Morton on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Redlauer. I hope you're enjoying the music as much as I am. Now, this next set features bandleader and pianist Jim DePogny. DePogny's a bona fide Morton scholar. While running his own band and teaching music for 4 decades at the University of Michigan, he edited a collection of Morton's piano works and has written about Morton authoritatively for respected journals, institutions, and album liner notes. The DePogny Band did a Morton tribute themselves in 1993 and will segue from the Alan Lomax Library of Congress solo of Morton to Jim DePogny's Chicago Jazz Band playing a carefully arranged new score based on this Latin-tinged Morton piano solo called Mama Nita. Mama Nita was probably a nostalgic reference to the one woman that Morton had loved, Anita Gonzalez, with whom he lived and associated during his years in Los Angeles, and to whom he returned shortly before his death. Jim DePagni's Chicago Jazz Band, and Jim's orchestration of Mamanita, a Latin-influenced Morton piano solo. This is Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer, bringing you the saga of Jelly Roll Morton, the pianist, bandleader, and composer who in the 1920s created a large body of early jazz tunes, sheet music, and recordings that summed up the best of what New Orleans jazz had to offer. Now, during Morton's New York years from 1927 through 37, he was performing in and around New York, upstate New York, and Pennsylvania, taking gigs as far away as the Midwest or Maryland. At his peak, Jelly Roll earned top dollar, up to $1,500 a night for his band to perform, and he played the superstar role to the hilt. He drove the biggest black Lincoln touring car he could find. His band appeared on stage in tuxes. Jelly was resplendent in burgundy jacket with white pants and shoes, flaunting his gold and jewelry. Morton on stage, the half-carat diamond in his front tooth gleaming in the spotlight, directing the band from the piano or out front with baton, must have been quite a sight.
Ah, hello, symptoms. Give me Dr. Jazz. He's got what I need, I say, has.
Sadly, Morton's well-known bragging and self-promotion frequently aggravated his musicians and associates. Worse, it made him the frequent object of ridicule and derision, and it must have contributed to the sharp decline of his fortunes after 1930. One story has Jelly auditioning a tune at the office of a music publisher. Another musician walks in and calls the tune pretty good. Pretty good hell, replies Morton. It's perfect. Said another, quote, Jelly could talk himself into a $1 million proposition and right out of it. And it sounds like he did just that on more than one occasion. Next up is Cannonball Blues from 1926 with some of Morton's best Chicago session guys, Omar Simeon clarinet, trombonist Kid Ory, and cornet player George Mitchell. Mitchell was popular in and around Chicago during the 20s and very good at creating a wide tonal variety through the use of mutes on his horn. Here, Jelly Roll dresses up a fairly traditional blues in his characteristic breaks, riffs, key shifts, and varying rhythmic patterns, fashioning a multifaceted gem. Then to Pretty Lil, a Morton tune from 1929, played by the premier Jazz Wizards on their Morton tribute from 1997. Here's Jelly Roll Morton's Red Hot Peppers' Cannonball Blues. Thank you. Lateral Morton's Cannonball Blues, and Pretty Lil, the latter from Pom Pamir's New Jazz Wizards Morton Tribute of 97. And whether or not Pretty Lil might have been named, pure speculation here, for Lil Hardin, she did hear him early on at some point in Chicago and was mightily impressed with his rhythmic power, saying that when he really got going, the piano rocked and the floor shivered. Now, generally, there was little or no overlap between the musicians Jelly Roll hired for his recording dates and the guys he hired out of town. And there's no question that requirements for his sidemen on records were demanding. They had to be schooled and competent enough to play his complex and unfamiliar music and yet play hot in the New Orleans style, plus tolerate Morton's strict leadership and idiosyncratic ways. According to drummer Baby Dodds, quote, "He wasn't fussy, but he was positive. He knew what he wanted, and he would get the men he knew could produce it." Morton's Blue Blood Blues is a masterwork. The spare arrangement skillfully builds dynamic contrast from an elegant, restrained solo by the great New Orleans Creole clarinetist Albert Nicholas, through a heartfelt trombone solo by Geechee Fields, to a sizzling, muted horn solo by the very good but little-known cornet player Ward Pinkett. Blue Blood Blues. Thank you. Wow, Jelly Roll Morton's Oil Well, our last tune from Pom Pamir's superb pickup band, the New Jazz Wizards, and they put out at least two Morton tribute albums on Stomp Off Records, which I highly recommend. The excellent piano there was from the English Morton specialist, Ray Smith, who's been studying Morton's piano style for over a half century, and we heard the sweetly languorous Blue Blood Blues. Special thanks to Roy Spence of Woy Woy, New South Wales, Australia, for that suggestion. You can request a program playlist, listen to or learn more about Morton, early jazz, find articles, pictures, or links to the World Wide Web of Jazz sites at the Jazz Rhythm website, jazzhotbigstep.com. Jazz Rhythm is produced by Rhythm Productions, offering voiceover services and professional restoration of rare tapes and discs to digital. In the third program, I'll focus on Morton's complex and moving piano artistry, fascinating Library of Congress recordings, and his sad end. Aside from the superb music, Jelly Roll Morton is celebrated today partly for his flamboyant lifestyle and oversized personality. However, I'm beginning to agree with recent scholarship, suggesting that Jelly Roll Morton's legendary life on the wrong side of the law, pimping, pool hustling, and gambling, was largely over by 1922, when he would have been in his early to mid-30s. Now, this theory seems to me equally or more convincing than the Jekyll and Hyde legend of Morton, that he was both a pimp, hustler, outlaw, and one of the 20th century's greatest musical geniuses. I doubt that Morton could have succeeded so decisively, artistically and commercially, had he not left behind petty criminality to focus his efforts on his craft. And we're fortunate that Morton set out to make himself consciously the most accomplished pianist and jazz composer of his day. The Red Hot Peppers records were an unprecedented creative achievement. His innovative writing, arranging, and directing brought New Orleans ensemble style to its finest representation on record, left an indelible mark on the 20s, and are the crown jewels of Morton's priceless legacy. Finally this hour, a tune featuring Omar Simeon clarinet, Geechee Fields trombone, and trumpeter Ward Pinkett, who provides a crisp open horn lead and hot muted solo. Rounding it out, session director, composer, and pianist Jelly Roll Morton contributes a brief, relaxed piano solo for Georgia Swing. That's Jazz Rhythm and the saga of Jelly Roll Morton. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.